All right, so we're diving into a real legal head-scratcher today, Doherty v. Salt. It's a case, well, you could practically rip it from the pages of a family drama, right? We've got this loving aunt, generous promise to her nephew, and, well, let's just say the ending, it's not what you'd expect.
Yeah, this case, it really gets to the heart of contract law. It asks this basic question: when does just a promise, like a heartfelt promise, turn into something a court will enforce, a real agreement?
Exactly. We're not messing around here. This thing went all the way over the New York Court of Appeals, and it made everyone stop and think. Like, what's the court, the essence of a contract? What makes it tick?
And you know what's at the center of it all? Consideration. And let me tell you, that word, it throws people off, but really it boils down to, is there a real exchange of value going on between the people making this deal?
So it's got to be a two-way street, right?
Yeah.
You give a little, you get a little. Can't just be a one-sided promise.
You got it. Quid pro quo, it's something for something. That's what the law wants to see for a contract to really stick. In this case, oh boy, it puts that idea right under the microscope.
Okay, before we get lost in all the legal mumbo jumbo, paint me a picture. Set the scene. We're back in 1919, right? We got Helena Doherty. This lady, heart of gold, wants to give her 8-year-old nephew, Charles, a gift. And not just any gift. We're talking $3,000. That's a serious chunk of change back then.
Oh, yeah. Back then, you could practically buy a house with that. And she doesn't just say it, she sits down, writes it all out, promissory note, even puts value received right there on the paper. Looks official, like a done deal, right?
Right.
But, well, the legal world, sometimes it has its own way of looking at things.
And here comes the plot twist. Helena, well, she passes away, and Charles, he tries to get that money. Seems straightforward enough. But the court, they throw a curveball.
They said, nope. Even though the aunt was sincere, even with that note, it just didn't have that special ingredient, that consideration. They saw it as, well, basically a gift, not a contract.
Hold on. So she put it in writing, used the fancy legal words value received, and it still wasn't enough. What gives?
This is where the big guns come in. Judge Cardozo, one of the sharpest legal minds ever, steps up, delivers this opinion that'll echo through the legal world for decades.
I bet that opinion, it's a gold mine of legal wisdom, right?
Yeah.
Like this case, it's way more than just a family squabble over some cash.
Oh, yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Cardozo, he went deep, right to the core of what a contract is. He said, look, you can't just dress up a gift with legal words and call it a contract. Courts, they got to look past the surface, see what the deal really was about. What did these people intend?
So context is king, right? The court didn't just take that promissory note at face value. They dug deeper, tried to understand, well, the whole story behind that promise.
Exactly. And that's what makes Doherty v. Salt so important. It's a lesson, a big one. It tells us the true test of a contract. It's not just fancy words on a piece of paper, it's that real exchange of value.
So we know consideration, that's the key, turns a promise into, well, a real contract. But I gotta know, what could Aunt Helena have done, differently? What would have made that promise bulletproof, legally speaking? Like, what would satisfy those court folks about this whole consideration thing?
Okay, let's play pretend for a sec. What if instead of just saying, here's the money, Aunt Helena says, Charles, if you promise to help out around the house with chores and all that for the next year, you got it, $3,000 when you turn 16.
So she adds a condition, right? Something Charles has to actually do. That could have changed things legally.
You bet. Now we're talking an exchange. Charles promises to do chores, Aunt Helena promises the cash. It's a trade, not just a gift, right? That's what the courts want to see.
So even something small, like chores, can make all the legal difference.
Absolutely. The court, they don't care so much about how much something's worth dollar-wise. It's about that back and forth quid pro quo.
That's wild. It's like we have more power than we think, even with casual promises, to make them, legally solid.
You got it. And this case, it's a lesson. Think about the words we use when we make promises, especially if we want them to hold up in court, have real weight.
Like a dance almost between what we mean and all those legal rules.
Okay.
But let's get back to Judge Cardozo, the mastermind himself. How'd he break down this whole consideration puzzle in Doherty v. Salt?
Oh, Cardozo, he wrote the book on legal reasoning, He didn't get stuck on just those words on the note, value received. He looked deeper. What was the real agreement here?
So he was like, cut through the noise, get to the heart of the matter. Okay.
Exactly. He said, hold up, that value received, it's just a formality printed on some standard form, doesn't prove anything about a real exchange. Cardozo, he wanted the court to see past the words, the actual substance of the deal.
Don't let the legal jargon fool you. Got to get to the truth, something like that.
Nailed it. Cardozo, he was all about substance over form. Law should reflect what really happened between people, not just get tangled up in technicalities.
And with Doherty v. Salt, he really set a precedent, right? Like, that approach, it's a cornerstone of contract law now.
Absolutely. Law School 101, this case, it's been cited in I don't know how many opinions, and for good reason. It reminds us that the law, it's got to keep up with how people interact, you know? It's a living thing.
Now, this case, it involved a big old pile of money. But what about smaller stuff? Everyday agreements, like I promise a buddy I'll lend him my lawnmower. Does that need consideration to be official in the eyes of the law?
Good question. The idea of consideration, yeah, it applies everywhere to all contracts, but how formal it has to be, that depends. With friends, casual stuff, the law's not going to expect a written contract for borrowing a lawnmower. That expectation, like, hey, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, that's usually enough in those situations.
So more like an unspoken thing based on trust, right? Not some strict legal requirement.
Yeah, exactly. But even with friends, casual stuff, it's smart to remember this consideration idea. If it's something valuable or a promise that could have consequences, better to be clear about what you expect, you know? And hey, maybe even write it down, just in case.
Good advice. Sounds like those lessons from Doherty v. Salt, they apply everywhere, big or small. It's easy to forget that even simple agreements, well, the law might have something to say about them.
You got it. And speaking of the law, you know, another part of this case that's really interesting is how it moved through the courts. It wasn't just one courtroom. Doherty v. Salt went on a real journey through the legal system.
Oh, you mean like how it ended up all the way at the top, the New York Court of Appeals?
Exactly. It's a classic example of how a case, it can evolve, get interpreted differently, depending on who's looking at it, at different levels of the courts. It started with a jury, then a trial judge, then went up to an appeals court, and finally landed in the hands of the big dogs, the New York Court of Appeals.
Whoa, a real legal roller coaster, huh? Sounds like those courts, they really wrestled with this one.
Oh, they did. And that's what makes it so great for understanding how the law works. It's a window, right? You see different legal minds looking at the same facts, coming to different conclusions.
Okay, now I'm really curious. What happened in those lower courts? Did they agree with, you know, what Judge Cardozo decided in the end, or were there some different opinions flying around?
Well, that's where it gets even juicier. The lower courts, they actually didn't see it the same way as Cardozo and the Court of Appeals. At first, they sided with Charles, the nephew. They thought there was enough consideration for the aunt's promise.
Wait, seriously? They saw the whole thing differently. How come?
The jury in that first trial, they were moved by the aunt's love for her nephew, you know, and her wanting to take care of him. They thought that was enough consideration. They saw it as a family agreement, heartfelt, and they wanted to honor what the aunt intended.
So they were looking at the emotional side of it more, right? The family bond, yeah. Not so much the strict legal definition.
Yeah, right. They saw it as part of this bigger picture, the family taking care of each other. And those technicalities, the legal stuff, it wasn't their main focus.
Interesting. It makes you think, sometimes the law and our gut feeling, you know, about what's fair, they don't always match up.
That's a deep thought. And yeah, it's something people have debated for ages. Where's the line? Honoring what someone meant to do versus following the rules no matter what is a tough balance.
And in Doherty v. Salt, Cardozo, he came down on the side of the rules, the legal principles, even if it meant, you know, kind of going against the aunt's good intentions.
That's right. He understood the aunt was generous, cared about her nephew, all that. But he also felt strongly that the law needed a clear standard, a way to decide if a promise is enforceable or not. And to him, sticking to that idea of consideration, that was key, to make sure the legal system stayed fair and predictable.
A reminder, huh?
Hmm?
Sometimes the law, it doesn't care so much about our feelings. It's got its own logic, its own rules. And those rules, sometimes they lead to results that feel, I don't know, kind of harsh.
Exactly. And that clash between our emotions and what the law says, it's what makes Doherty v. Salt so fascinating, a case that's still relevant today. It makes us think about the law, its power, how it affects real people.
Okay, I'm hooked. Tell me more. What happened when the case went up to those higher courts? Did they agree with the jury or did they see things differently? So the jury, they were on the aunt's side, all those good intentions. But what about those higher courts, those judges? Did they buy it too?
Yeah, not exactly. The trial judge, they actually, well, they tossed out the jury's verdict, said the case is dismissed. They felt like, you know, the law, it demands more than just good vibes, right? It needs that real back and forth, that bargain, that exchange. And in this case, they didn't see it.
So the judge was all about, sticking to the legal rule book, even if it meant overruling what the jury felt, emotionally.
Yep, pretty much bound by precedent, you know? Those legal principles, gotta follow them, even if the outcome, maybe it feels a little cold in a family situation like this.
Case dismissed. But something tells me this isn't over, is it?
You know it. Hold on tight, because there's another twist. The appellate division, they step in, reverse what the trial judge did, and bam, the jury's verdict is back. Seems like they were leaning towards, you know, the jury's thinking that the aunt's love, that wanting to provide for Charles, maybe that could be seen as a kind of consideration.
Whoa, back and forth, like a
Yeah.
legal ping pong match. So the courts, they're really struggling with this, right? How to balance those human feelings with the legal nitty-gritty.
For sure. It shows you, you know, this tension that happens a lot in law. Do we stick to the rules no matter what, or do we look at the details, what people meant to do? It's a tough call.
Yeah, like trying to squeeze a square block into a round hole, you know?
Yeah.
But in the end, it was Judge Cardozo up there at the New York Court of Appeals. He's the one who had the last word. What do you make of this whole thing?
Okay, so big moment, right? The Court of Appeals, they overturned what the appellate division did, sided with the aunt's state. Cardozo, he writes this opinion, brilliant stuff, really shaped the law. And he's saying, look, the aunt, she was being kind, no doubt, but legally speaking, it just wasn't a contract, a gift. Even all official looking on paper, it doesn't magically become a contract without that key ingredient, the consideration.
So, bottom line, the law, the rules, they won out over good intentions. Tough, but important to remember, right? Shows us where those lines are in contract law.
Exactly. And Cardozo's opinion, it went beyond just this one case. It set a precedent, you know, changed how contracts are understood and enforced even today.
Man, this whole deep dive has really shown us how important consideration is. It's not just a legal technicality, it's the foundation of a real contract. Makes the difference between, a promise you can take to court and one that's just, well, a nice thought.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Doherty v. Salt, it reminds us, even if it's a simple agreement, gotta be clear, gotta be specific, understand what the law requires. Saves a lot of headaches down the line.
You know what? This has been fascinating. We got into contract law, saw how a case moves through the courts, even wrestled with, well, the human side of law, those intentions, versus those cold, hard legal rules.
It's amazing, right? Doherty v. Salt, just a family promise on the surface. But it gives us insights that, well, they go way beyond this one case.
It makes you think, doesn't it, about the law, how it works, how it affects people, and that balance between making sure agreements are solid, but also, honoring what people meant when they made them.
Absolutely. So we'll leave our listeners with this, something to chew on. Imagine you're Judge Cardozo. What would you do? Try to honor the aunt's generosity, or stick to the letter of the law no matter what. It's a tough one. Makes you think about how the law works in the real world, you know, how it impacts people's lives.
Lot to ponder, that's for sure. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Gardy v. Salt. Until next time, keep those legal minds sharp.